Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, June 7th, a bus accident in the United Arab Emirates kills several people. British Prime Minister Theresa May steps down as Conservative Party leader, and Vatican Radio launches a weekly news bulletin in Latin reviewing the Pope's activities. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. In the United Arab Emirates, at least 17 people were killed last night when a bus crashed into a warning sign on a major highway in Dubai. 12 of the victims were Indians, as Sister Carmelan Coutinho reports.
The passenger bus crashed into a low-clearance sign in Dubai's Rashidiya neighborhood on Thursday night as it was coming off a major highway. The sign hangs over an off-ramp of the Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Road that is not designated for buses. The bus was traveling from Oman around 6 p.m. when it took the exit, driving straight into the sign. The 31 passengers aboard included a mix of residents and holidaymakers of Asian and European origin. Many were returning from Eid al-Fitr celebrations, a Muslim holiday that marks the end of Ramadan. Dubai police offered their condolences and said the dead included different nationalities without elaborating. India's Consular General in Dubai tweeted that at least 12 Indians were killed in the accident. Six of those who died were from Kerala. Other fatalities included two Pakistani nationals, one person from Oman, and an Irish citizen. Three bodies have yet to be identified. I'm Sister Carmelan.
Separately, the United Arab Emirates has told the UN Security Council that attacks on four tankers off its coast on May 12th was most likely the work of a state actor. The UAE did not say who it thought was behind the attacks, but said it appeared to be a sophisticated and coordinated operation. The attacks required expert navigation and trained divers who placed limpet mines with precision. The United States has accused Iran of being directly responsible for the attacks. In Libya, the UN's refugee agency says heavy rains have caused severe flooding in the southwestern part of the country, killing at least four people. The UNHCR said today in a statement that rains began on May 28th in the town of Ghat. More than 2,500 people have been forced to flee their homes, and 30 people have been injured. Meanwhile, the UNHCR and the International Organization for Migration are urging the European Union to take urgent action to help migrants fleeing conflict-torn Libya or stuck in detention centers there. UNHCR's Rupert Colville said today that a recent visit to one of the detention centers in near Tripoli revealed appalling conditions in which migrants are forced to live. He also said many of those who are dying are just moved to another center close to the border because in Tripoli there are no burial grounds for Christians.
During a recent visit to the Zintan detention center where 654 refugees and migrants are held, we found them to be severely malnourished, lacking water, locked in overcrowded warehouses, reeking with the smell of rubbish and waste from overflowing latrines. Those held in the facilities reportedly receive only one meal of around 200 grams of plain pasta per day. And some 432 Eritreans detained in the facility, that's about two-thirds of the total, of whom 132 are children, reportedly only receive half that amount, so 100 grams or so of pasta per day. More than 60 people suffering from tuberculosis are locked in a separate isolation hangar, and 30 others have been moved to the Gharian detention center south of Tripoli, which is very close to the current front line, and they have reportedly been sent there to die, basically, because there are no burial facilities for Christians in Zintan itself. The conditions at Zintan Detention Center amount to inhuman and degrading treatment or punishment and may also amount to torture. Some 3,400 migrants and refugees remain detained in Tripoli itself, according to UN figures, and we appeal to the authorities in Libya and the international community to ensure that migrants and refugees held in such detention facilities are immediately released, that evacuation, resettlement, and voluntary humanitarian return options are urgently expanded, and alternatives to detention are developed.
That was a spokesman for the UNHCR, Rupert Colville. In Sudan, protest leaders are demanding that a feared paramilitary unit be dismantled. Demonstrators hold the militia responsible for killing more than 100 people this week in a crackdown on rallies. The Rapid Support Forces grew out of the Janjaweed militia used in the Darfur conflict in 2003. The opposition also renewed its demand for the ruling council to hand over power to civilians. In France, Storm Miguel is whipping up the western coast as with winds of up to 130 kilometers per hour. Three people died today when a rescue boat overturned as it attempted to aid another boat. Four of the seven crew members swam ashore. The storm is unusual as it is coming at the start of the summer tourist season. In Britain, Theresa May was officially stepping down as leader of the ruling Conservative Party on Friday, but she will remain as Prime Minister until her successor is chosen. Ms. May announced her resignation 2 weeks ago after failing three times to get her EU withdrawal bill approved by Parliament. Susie Hodges reports on what comes next and why the Brexit conundrum is likely to continue to dominate British politics.
11 Conservative lawmakers are vying to replace May as party leader and thus become Prime Minister, and her departure formally triggered a contest that was already underway in earnest. Lawmakers from the ruling party will hold a series of secret ballots over the next 2 weeks to cut the number of contenders down to a shortlist of two. The two chosen candidates then will be put to a vote by members of the wider Conservative Party, and the winner will be announced during the week beginning July the 22nd. Most of those who have thrown their hats into the ring are strong supporters of Brexit. At the moment, the front runner is former Foreign Minister Boris Johnson, who was a prominent campaigner for Brexit during the 2016 referendum on EU membership. Johnson and several of the other candidates insist the UK must leave the EU on October 31st, if necessary, without a deal with Brussels. The leadership contest comes after the recent European elections, where in Britain the newly formed Brexit Party gained the most votes, leaving the Conservatives in a humiliating fifth place and the main opposition Labour in third place. But there was some comfort for Labour on Friday that narrowly held on to its seat in the town of Peterborough in a by-election. The Brexit Party candidate had been tipped to take the seat, which would have led to the party's first lawmaker in Parliament, but in the event it finished second. The Conservative Party chairman said the clear message from its poor performance in Peterborough, as well as the European elections, was the public wanted the government to deliver Brexit. But whoever is chosen to succeed May as party leader and prime minister will face the same obstacles that plagued her 3 years in the top job. The British Parliament is deadlocked over Brexit, and the nation as a whole is split down the middle between those who support Brexit and those who believe Britain should remain in the EU. And observers believe opinions have hardened on both sides of this divide. If the winner of the leadership contest looks like they do not have the support of lawmakers, then it's possible the Labour Party leader could call a no-confidence vote. That could bring down the new government and precipitate a general election. I'm Susie Hodges, reporting for Vatican News.
Staying in the UK, judges at London's High Court today threw out misconduct charges against Boris Johnson, the frontrunner to succeed Theresa May as Prime Minister. Activists had alleged that Mr. Johnson lied during the 2016 Brexit referendum campaign by saying that the UK gave the EU £350 million a week. Opponents argued that the claim deliberately misled voters ahead of the Brexit referendum, which saw Britons vote 52-48% to leave the European Union. In Latin America, Mexico says it is deploying 6,000 National Guard troops to secure its southern border with Guatemala. The move comes in response to tariffs threatened by the United States if Mexico does not stem the flow of undocumented migrants. Talks between the U.S. and Mexico are continuing in Washington, with U.S. Vice President Mike Pence announcing that President Donald Trump will decide if sanctions are imposed on Monday. There's still no deal, as James Blears reports.
Mexican Foreign Minister Marcelo Ebrard, who's shouldering the brunt of the intense and increasing pressure, frankly concedes there's still no agreement and there'll be another session today, he says. We will continue forward. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence comments there's some movement on their part, it's encouraging, and the discussions are going to continue in the coming days. But he's stressing that the final decision on whether to press ahead on 5% tariffs covering all Mexican imports by Monday is up to President Trump himself. in a major concession adding up to a significant development. Ebrard says he's offering to send 6,000 National Guard to bolster and tighten Mexico's porous southern border. Furthermore, 350 would-be migrants have been detained there and two migrant activists have been arrested. Hoping for the best, but also prudently and ominously planning for the worst, Mexico's already formulated a hit list of retaliatory tariffs. President Trump stresses, Mexico tariffs go on and I mean it. That will cause an immediate major economic landslide of pain for Mexico, but also for the United States in an escalating two-way trade dispute, which will cause major economic woes for once close, but now increasingly distant neighbors. For Vatican News, James Blue is reporting.
Starting Saturday, Vatican Radio kicks off a 5-minute weekly news bulletin in Latin, which will be broadcast to the world. Hebdomada Pape Notizie Vaticane Latine Redizie will review the Pope's activities of the week. Linda Bordoni has the story.
Hebdomada Pape Notizie Vaticane Latine Redite.
Hebdomada Pape is the title of Vatican Radio's new weekly news bulletin in Latin.
Editum est Pape documentum motu proprium datum in quo.
Starting on Saturday, the 8th of June, it will be broadcast to the world on Vatican Radio frequencies through the Italian language audio channels. Of course, you'll also be able to follow it on our web portal and listen to it on podcast. And it will soon be available on the English language audio frequencies as well. The bulletin goes to air thanks to the collaboration of the Vatican's Latin Letters Office, a department of the Secretariat of State, where church documents are written in or translated into Latin. The bulletin will be edited by veteran Vatican Radio journalist Alessandro De Carolis.
Salutem plurimam, omnibus vobis auscultantibus, dicit Alexander De Carolis, et feliciter vobis...
Vatican Radio's editorial director Andrea Tornielli describes Hebdomada Pape as a real, informative news bulletin. We did not conceive it with a nostalgic look to the past, he said, but as a challenge for the future. Noting that Latin is the official language of the Catholic Church, he said Latin already resonates daily on the frequencies of Vatican Radio, which every morning broadcasts Mass in Latin. This weekly initiative, he explains, aims to breathe new life into the language. Straight after the news bulletin, Radio Vaticana Italia will also provide an in-depth program entitled Anima Latina, Radio Colloquia de Lingua Ecclesiae. Anima Latina, dedicated to the rediscovery of the value and beauty of the Latin language, will feature renowned Latinist Father Waldemar Turek, who is the director of the Vatican's Latin Letters Office.
Finis fit uius editionis. Conveniemus iterum die, sabato proximo, e ad emora.
I'm Linda Bordoni.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks go to our studio team. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.